grant, Lord, that every heart may be prepared for that great day, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25 and verse 31. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. The picture is of the judgment day. And on that day, everybody will be divided, each on their own. And on that day, there will be a great white throne set up on the earth, and every person who's ever lived on earth will be summoned to attend. The sea will give up its dead, the graves will give up their dead, the dead who died in fires and been cut to pieces or anyway, all will stand there, and there will be a vast, vast number of people. Even from a satellite you'd have a job measuring the number of people there are there. There will be huge numbers, hundreds and hundreds of millions of people will stand there, and they will be judged, and there will be a great separation. So that in one family, one will be appointed to die and another to live. There will be nothing can save a person except what the judge decides to save. And that judge has never done wrong yet. He's perfectly well able. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about this. When the early Christians preached, they didn't preach come to Jesus. They didn't preach about the other things that are preached about today. They said that a man was crucified as a criminal and died, and after 3 days God raised him from the dead. Now, if you take the ancient books in the world, you will find that very few copies remain, and those very late. But the copies of the book telling us about this, we got somewhere between 4,000 and 4,440 ancient copies. It had an enormous impact on the world, that a man had actually risen from the dead. Now, because of that, they said, this man is coming again, and he will judge the whole world, and he will judge them for exactly what they've done. And when you look at the judge says to those in front of him that he puts the sheep on his right hand here and the goats on his left hand. And he says to the sheep, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for me from the beginning of the world. And he says to the goats, depart ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And that will happen. And the righteous will say to him, Lord, how is it? And he'll say, when I was hungry, thirsty, naked, in prison, and lacked things, you gave them to me. And then the wicked people will say, well, why are we being punished? And he'll say, because when I was hungry and thirsty and naked and in prison and in trouble, you didn't help me. So you see, everybody can understand the judgment. It's what you've done. But here's the point. I know lots of people who I'm quite sure will be goats on that day, who have given their lives to helping people. And the Bible says you can give your body to be burned. You can give all your goods. You can give everything you've got. You can dedicate your life to helping other people, and you'll still be judged down. It's if the actions please God. Now, it's like this. Supposing you wanted to help your mother make a bed, and you put both hands in the soot, and then you went along and you handled the sheets and you put them on the bed and you made everything perfectly. Would she be pleased with you? Answer, no. Why? Because you left great dirty marks all over the sheets. You and I are called sinners by God, and sinners means that everything we do is touched with sin, and God is not pleased with it. Well then, how can we please God? How can we change that so that the things we do are what God wants? Well, don't be deceived. You've got a struggle in front of you. You see, every one of us faces this struggle. When we go to work, the other people don't like us because we're like this. They can see that we're different. When we're out and about, we meet much opposition. People despise us. People reject us. People just do not like us. It's a simple fact. You know the old saying about, I do not love thee, Dr. Fell. The reason why I cannot tell, but this I know and know full well. I do not love thee, Dr. Fell. That was written about a great English educationalist, Dr. Fell. Well now, it's like that with us. People don't know why they hate us, but they do hate us and dislike us deeply. Because our nature has been changed from being like them to being the opposite, from being lost to being found, from being in the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, from being utterly without God to being God's own people. And the people who do not love God see that we are God's people and they do not love us for it. Now, the difficulty comes here. It is very easy to deceive yourself and to deceive others. A rich young ruler came to Christ and said, what must I do to be saved? Now, what do you think we'd do in this church if someone came in and said, what must I do to be saved? We'd be delighted. But he was rejected. He never was saved. That young man went away because he loved his riches more than he loved Jesus. So you see, it's easy to get deceived, self-deceived. Again, there are others like that. You will find many of them in the Bible. Do you remember Judas, who sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver? But when Peter was talking about him afterwards to the people, Peter said, he was one of us. That's what he actually said. Now that meant that when Judas was going, Peter and the others couldn't see any difference between him and them. He could do miracles. He could preach the gospel. He went round healing people. He could be with Jesus and sit with Jesus and look just like the others. But Peter then said he went to his own place. He went away from Jesus. You see, it's easy to deceive yourself. It's easy, that's the first thing. Why? Because the devil, and there is a devil, would have anything but you go through and be saved. Now Jesus said, the door is very narrow, and the way is very difficult if you're going to be saved. You've got to squeeze through a door, and it means letting go of all the things you want to do in life, letting go of your own will and your own plans and everything you've got in life, giving up your way and going Jesus' way. Now that's very, very difficult. And if you think it isn't, try it. It's extremely difficult. We people are proud, we're very sure of ourselves, and we think we're right. So then, I want to tell you what happened on that judgment day. Those people who had been born again had had a complete change of nature. So they were called sheep, because they were utterly different to the goats who had no change of nature. All of us are born goats. Sinful, loving sin, liking to do wrong, wanting to do our own way, and not able to do right. And it takes a great change. It's only a change inside. Other people only see the results. But an enormous change has to come into our lives. Such a change that it changes us from our toes to the top of our heads. It changes us from everything inside us being dark to everything inside us being light. It changes us from not believing in God to believing in God. This great change Jesus can bring about in the life. So we become his sheep, and we become his own, and the things we do are pleasing to him, and we want to please him, so we do these things, whereas the others, they don't want to please him. They may do them because they're afraid of the law, they may do them because it looks good in front of others, they may do them simply because they're kindly sort of people, but they don't please God like that. Now, I want to take you then to that judgment day. And here are two things. What will happen from the judgment day? Well, Jesus said, "Come, ye blessed of my Father." That means that the person who is born again and does those things that are pleasing to God is blessed. What does it mean by blessed? They're to be envied. They're to be happy. They're to be rejoiced over. There's something very wonderful happening in their hearts and for them. Now, how are they blessed? Well, they're going to a kingdom. What God will do is this. One day when this day comes, Jesus, who went up to heaven from the Mount of Olives, will so come in like manner as he went. His feet shall stand, it says, upon the Mount of Olives by Jerusalem. And it says very plainly indeed that that day all the nations of the earth will cry, scream, because they see him come. There'll be terrible fear, because all they've lived for and all they want is just gone like that. But we will be caught up to meet him in the air, and that's the beginning. If you are prepared to give up your life here, God will give you a life, a wonderful life, on that judgment day. But it isn't in this life. In this life, we are the people who are despised and rejected and persecuted and hated. But beyond the grave, we are kings. Now look, I want to tell you what God will give you. First of all, he'll make you pure. I don't say so you can't sin, because the angels in heaven fell. But I do say that in heaven you won't sin, because God himself keeps you with his own hand. So that you will be moved beyond sin and beyond doing those things which you don't want to do into a perfect state. And the next thing that will happen to you, not only will be pure as the driven snow, but you'll be gloriously happy. Every sorrow you've suffered, God will wipe away the tears from your eyes. He promises to do. Everything you've suffered on earth will be repaid to you 100-fold in heaven. So anything you've lost on earth, anything you've given up for Jesus, you will be repaid. And you will be repaid mightily and fully, so that there's nothing lacking. It says, God is no man's debtor. And he intends to repay. God intends to repay fully. Now, what? There you are then. You're pure, you're happy, but something more. You will sit with Jesus in his throne. So you will judge the nations. God has given you talents. If you use those talents for him, then one day, with those talents, you will have them multiplied because you were faithful, and you will be given rulership. You will be a ruler. Now, I don't know what your rule will be, but I do know it says that the man who had 5 talents was made ruler of 10 cities, and the man who had 2 talents was ruler of, 1 talent was ruler of 2, and 2 talents of 4, so on. God will reward you. God will lift you up, so that whereas this world despises you, God will make you to be honored before all the angels, before his Father, and you will be greatly, greatly honored and given everything you've lost on earth. Furthermore, you will be in a kingdom, and that kingdom is for everlasting. You will never leave that kingdom. You will be a king in a kingdom. You will be given a crown, not the heavy sort of crown which they wear for a coronation and then are glad to get off their weary heads, but a real crown. a crown of glory, a diadem it's called. You will be a wonderful, wonderful crown. And the little children who die in Jesus, they will be in Jesus' crown. They will be there. Little children who love their Redeemer, are his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own. You will shine like the morning star. You will shine like the sun in his strength. You will never, never lack anything. You'll never hunger again. You'll never thirst. You know, when Jesus got up from the grave, do you know, he never said he had blood. He said, touch me, he see me, touch me, handle me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as I have. He never said blood. You don't have to have eating and you don't have to have the rest, but you will eat there, because Jesus has promised he'll sit down and eat with you when you get there. Jesus has promised that he'll come and wait on you at table. Jesus has promised that he will make you to drink of the new wine of heaven, something so glorious and so wonderful that you cannot begin to dream about it now. The eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, what good things God hath prepared for them that love him. Isn't it worth giving up things for Jesus? Isn't it? And then I'll tell you something more you'll have. You'll not only have a crown, but you'll have a wonderful garment, wonderful clothes, far better than you can buy in Marks and Spencer's or in any shop or anything you like. You'll be given the most wonderful clothing. And that clothing, do you know what it is? It's the blood of Jesus. His blood. He died for you, and he'll give you a white robe, which is washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now that is everything. Jesus himself will clothe you. Now I'll tell you another thing you'll have. You'll have a new name, which nobody knows but the person who receives it. And the moment you believe in Jesus, you will know in your heart, as he speaks to you, that you have that new name. Now you'll say to me, how do you know this? How do you know all this? It's written in this book, but it's not just that. I went through this. I was born again. I came to know Jesus as Saviour. I came out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And I have seen the difference. And I know when Jesus speaks to me. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And I heard the Saviour's voice. And I know when I confessed and turned round. Now, I want to say something more. There is sadly another side to this. It's a terrible side, and we don't like speaking about it. But what are those goats? God says, and the Lord Jesus, who's on the throne, depart ye cursed. Now, this beautiful world of ours is under a curse. That's why we have in farming thorns and thistles and docks and weeds, all the horrible things that grow up, because the world is cursed. Professor Werner Wright once said this in front of me, and I've often thought about it, that when in the Garden of Eden man sinned, thistles and thorns came up, and when Jesus died on a cross, he wore those thorns for his crown. And darkness came on the whole earth for 3 hours. And at that time, it seems the earth slipped again into worse. And there have been two great slippings of the earth. And one was from Eden, and one was there. There is a third one, and that was Noah. He got in a semi-paradise, like in Singapore, into a boat. And he got out again on a Yorkshire moor, something like that. And there have been great climate changes. Don't ever believe about the climate changes. God guides them. God guides change in climate. God has made it perfectly clear that he changed the climate at the fall. He changed the climate at the flood. And I believe he changed the climate again when Jesus was crucified. And we live in a fallen world. It's under the curse of God. But I want to take you one further into this. When a person disobeys the Lord Jesus, he gives them up. They may go their own way, They may be very happy in life, but God says, depart ye cursed. And that's what happens. Now, what will happen to those people? Jesus, who loves us very much, said that they are in eternal torment, that there is their fire therein, and they're in horrible being eaten by worms, where their fire is not quenched and their worm dieth not. There is something terrible. They hated God on earth, and I believe in their prison there, they will hate him yet more. And they'll hate him with all the fullness of their hearts. And you see, they look like us here, and can even pass like us here. So we can hardly tell the difference. In fact, we can't tell the difference. We couldn't tell the difference in Simon Magus, who loved praying. We can't tell the difference about Demas, who followed the others until he met Silver. And the truth is this, that we can't tell the difference. There's an enormous difference. Jesus said there is a great gulf fixed between heaven and hell. And those are the eternal destinies of all of us in this room, one or the other. And we are to take Jesus' words very carefully, very, very carefully, and be with him, or else we shall be cut off forever and we shall suffer it greatly. Now, that is the gospel. People hide it because they're ashamed of it or because they're afraid of telling it. But that's the gospel as it stands. There is no other gospel, and by it we're saved, or what the Bible uses as a very polite word for it, lost. Lost like that is enormous, enormous loss. It's eternal, it's irrevocable, you can't change it or go back on it, and it's the blackness of darkness forever. Now, can I ask you one thing? Have you ever spoken to anybody to ask them to follow the Lord Jesus? You see, that's necessary. Have you believed in Jesus? Do you trust him? Truly, not just so other people think you do, but from your own heart of hearts. If you do, then Jesus calls you his own lamb, his own sheep, and he is the good shepherd. Amen. Now, we